I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for life. I am so grateful for life in Jesus Christ and in the family of God. I am so grateful for the life that Jesus brought when he came into Bethlehem, that first Advent. I am so thankful for the promise of eternal life. And that last line that we just sang, "My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me." I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait to hear his voice say, "Harry, come. Lois, come. Judy, come. Steve, come. Sue, come. Joan, come." Isn't that going to be exciting? That's what Advent is all about. Life. Life eternal. As we enter these four Sundays of Advent, I chose a four-letter acronym on that word life. The letters stand for look, inside, feel, expectant. And the title of today's sermon is Look. Now, I have to confess that when I sat down and I started writing this sermon on the one word, look, I wondered, what in the world were you thinking? What am I going to say about that word? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word look? Well, the first thing that came to my mind was stop, look, and listen. And I think there was a song by that title, a pop song by that title a few years ago, and the whole idea was to stop, look, and listen to your heart, and that there be love in your heart. But for me, stop, look, and listen is a warning before you cross the train tracks. And then another thought came, the second thought that came to my mind, that I think every parent in here has probably said many times, look both ways before you cross the street. That's another warning, isn't it? So I started wondering how I could build a sermon on this whole idea and relate it to Advent, this season of Advent. The answer came to me. It's fairly simple. Stop, look both ways, listen, and stay on guard against the devil, because he hates Christmas, and he will do whatever he can to rob us of the real meaning of this season. This season, the time again when we stop to celebrate with wonder and awe the incarnation of God. God with us, Emmanuel. The devil just hates that. And he works to substitute secular meaning for this season and shifts the priorities away from Jesus to so many other things. And you know what? We've bought it. We have bought it. Even committed Christians find the month of December one of the hardest months in the year to keep Jesus Christ first. There, you have it. That's my sermon. I'm done. Did you hear what she said? She said, woohoo. But then I realized I hadn't quoted any scripture. I probably should quote some scripture if I'm going to preach a sermon. So I went to the concordance and I looked at the word look. Lord, what did you have to say to us with that one word, look? Not only was I pleasantly surprised, but I was absolutely amazed at the number of messages that God has given to us through that one word. Let's start with this one, Exodus 3, verse 6. This is the story of Moses and the burning bush. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, that's a good instinct, because there was another dialogue that Moses had with God in Exodus 33, verse 18. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. Now, go with me to Bethlehem, Luke chapter 2. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Elijah, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, allowed himself to be seen by man. When the shepherds looked at the Christ child, they were not afraid like Moses. They did not have to veil their faces. They looked in the manger, and you know what they saw? They saw humility personified. And they were not afraid. In the late 90s, I wrote a poem that I set to music, an anthem. And I wrote it from the standpoint of you being in Bethlehem looking into the manger at the little baby. And here's how it begins. Look into his eyes and see what your life means. Look into his eyes and see who you are. Look into his hands and find forgiveness. Look into his heart and see love. Brothers and sisters, when you come to the manger, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. What do you see? Do you see a baby, meek and mild? Or do you see your Savior, your Redeemer, your Lord? How should you look at him? How should you feel about him? How should you honor him during this season of Advent? Well, the next scripture that I want to share with us is Leviticus 26, verse 9. God is speaking to his people in this verse, and he's talking to them about keeping his commandments. And he says, if you keep my commandments, I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. God looks on us, and he promises to look on you with favor when you accept him and you are submissive to him. But there's another side to that promise, and it's in Genesis 4, verse 5. But on Cain and his offering, God did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was very downcast. When you look at the Christ child, he looks back at you. And what does he see in you? Well, let me ask you this. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Have you ever heard the expression, a yes face? A yes face. I love that. When you make eye contact with some people, you can practically see the word yes just coming from their eyes, from their spirit, right into you. When you look at your face in the mirror, do you see a countenance that says yes? Or do you see an old grump? When God looks at you and God's favor is resting on you, you know, your face should just radiate yes, yes. Everyone should be able to look at you and see the joy that you have inside of you because of Jesus Christ, a glow inside of you that is the essence of the Christmas promise. If instead they see a no face, a grumpy face, a dissatisfied, complaining, angry face, then they are seeing the face of Cain, downcast, a face that says, God has not found favor with me. So instead of working really hard to decorate your mantle this season, why don't you work at decorating your face? And if your heart has found the message, notify your face. I used to say that to the choir members all the time. It was one of my favorite phrases. Isn't it boring to watch most church choirs sing and see their face? Because their face just doesn't say the joy of what they're singing sometimes. Witness for him through your face, brothers and sisters. My next scripture is Numbers 15, beginning in verse 37. The Lord said to Moses, I found a lot of references here to God and Moses' conversations. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lust of your own hearts and eyes. This is just one of the many examples that God gave us in the Bible, embracing symbols. Symbols are so important to remind us of his grace and his love. Look at them, he says, and remember. Let them remind you of me, and let them remind you of my teachings. So that leads me to ask you this. What symbols will be in your home this Advent season when you decorate it? When people come into your home, will they look at these symbols and receive the message that you want them to see? Will they see elves and fairies and Santa and candy canes and electric cars and snowmen, or perhaps even Rudolph himself? Or will they see chrismons? What? What's a chrismon? Well, I'm going to tell you, but first I want to say this. I want to lift the wet blanket of guilt off of you that I just threw over you. Those secular traditions of Christmas and all those decorations are not evil in and of themselves. In fact, they have a lot of redeeming qualities, I think. They can be beautiful. God loves beauty. They can be charming. They can be celebratory, and God wants us to celebrate. You know what? They tend to unify us at a time when there's a lot of disunity. They lift our spirits, and they change the face in the mirror. I like that. They change the faith. The challenge, however, is to never yield to Satan's desire to take Jesus Christ completely out and substitute all that other stuff. It's the Lord's birthday. It's not Macy's. It's not the Rockettes. It's not Susie Snowflake. Okay, so what are chrismons? Those are symbols of Christ, ornaments made to decorate the tree that remind us of Jesus Christ. The whole idea was born about 5 hours' drive from here in Danville, Virginia, in 1957 at the Ascension Lutheran Church by a woman by the name of Frances Spencer. And she coined the word chrismon. It's a combination of two words, Christ and monogram. And her idea was, let's make ornaments for our trees that are white, the liturgical color for Christmas Day, and gold to represent the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ. And let's put those symbols in our homes, such as stars and the cross and fish and a dove and the words Alpha, Omega, a crown, a shepherd's staff, a lamp, a chalice, an angel, a lamb, and so many other possibilities. When you celebrate his birthday this year, be sure that your home has symbols in it of Jesus Christ so that others will see and you can witness to him, that God can use to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Okay, now here's the next thought. It comes from Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. God said, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. So here's my question to all of us. What are you looking for during this Advent season? Are you looking for good food? Go for it. Enjoy it. Are you looking for a good Christmas show to be entertained by and to take your grandchildren to? Go for it. Enjoy it. Are you looking to have contact with people that you never talk to the rest of the year? No comment. But above all, brothers and sisters, look for God. Look for God. Stop, look, and listen for God. Let the music that you sing this Advent season first be of God, for God, to God. Now, I want to suggest that instead of America's Christian anthem, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. But you can still enjoy I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. That's fine. Now listen to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The essence of everything that we've been talking about, all these scriptures, comes back to the heart. When you contemplate the Christmas season, what excites you? What thrills you about the Christmas season? Perhaps a more penetrating question for all of us would be, who excites you? Who thrills you during this season of Advent? When God looks at your heart, right this minute, when God looks at your heart, this minute, what does he see? When God listens to your heart, right now, what does he hear? When God looks at the heart of covenant fellowship, is he pleased? Do you remember I said earlier, I wondered how much material I could find to build a sermon on one word, look. I have only scratched the surface. I mean, there are countless references in the Bible to how we look upon God and how God looks back upon us. There are countless references in the Bible of how we look at one another. There are all kinds of references in the Bible to looking back and to remembering. And there are comforting words in the Bible like these in 1 Corinthians 16:11. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Or there are pleas in the Bible, such as Psalm 25. Look upon my affliction, O God, my distress, and take away all my sins. There are goosebumps scriptures in the Bible, like 1 Peter 1, 2. Even angels long to look into these things. I love that verse. Even angels long to look in these things. There are also countless illustrations on the word look. We had one of them here this morning, that beautiful song set to an anthem by Dottie Rambo. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. There are glorious hymn texts that we sing. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, my God, how great thou art. I guess when it comes down to it, I could have preached a sermon series on just the one word look. But it's time to close this one. And I'm going to close it with a story. This was a story, true story, told by Reverend David Peterson, who is a former Presbyterian pastor. David said, I have a study and a desk, and I go there to prepare my sermons. And I have a little daughter, a little girl. And one day I was preparing my sermon, and my daughter came in to me, and she said, Daddy, Can we play? And he said, not right now, hon. I'm busy. Daddy is working on his sermon for Sunday. I tell you what, when I finish, we'll play. Okay? Okay, Daddy. And then she turned around and she walked for the door. But she stopped. And she abruptly turned back around. And she walked over to her father. And he said, she gave me a chiropractic bone-breaking hug. And I could hardly breathe. And she let go. And I said, oh, well, sweetie, thank you for that. But I thought you said you were going to give me a hug after. And she said, oh, Daddy, I just wanted you to know what you could look forward to. And that's what Advent is all about. I have come, I am coming again, and you have that to look forward to. Revelation 1, verse 7. Look! He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this season of the year and all that it holds. I thank you for the joy that comes this season of the year as we remember, as we look back, and as we look forward. And Lord, I pray that you will hasten the day when you will throw your arms around us and hug us with your eternal love. May we hug you right now with all the love we can possibly give to you. In Jesus' name, amen.